Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for us is the gospel lesson, and the theme or the title for our sermon today is The House Built on the Rock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord. G.K. Chesterton is a well-known Christian author from the early part of the 20th century. Wrote about all kinds of things: politics, art, religion, family. In fact, though he himself never had a family, he wrote powerfully and persuasively on behalf of the family. He said things like this: "The most extraordinary thing in the world is an ordinary man and an ordinary woman with their ordinary children." I gave you a quote from him on the back of your bulletins. He wrote this: "The essential of marriage is that a free man and a free woman choose to found on earth the only voluntary state, the only state which creates and loves its own citizens." See, there's something about the family. And married or not, children or not, we're all part of a family. And we as a congregation actually know how vital the family is. When we first moved here, the majority of you did me the honor of allowing me to come into your home and talk to you and just ask you about your take on the church and get some feedback from you. And one of the things that was said almost in every house was, "Pastor, we really need to focus on the family, and especially the children then, that they might be kept and grow in the faith." We as a congregation care about family. I thank God for that. I thank God for you. Now, that being the case, we need to pay attention to the gospel lesson, because the rich man in the story also cares about family. But here's the deal. He doesn't trust the word of God. We hear the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and we think that this rich man's problem is that he's unloving. And he is. He walks over Lazarus, who is in deep need, and he doesn't take care of him at all. It's a problem. But that's just a symptom. It's not the issue. We might think that this man's sickness, his problem, is that he is self-centered. That's true. In Hades, he demands that Lazarus come and cool his tongue. But see, finally, that's not the root of the issue. That's just the symptom. We find out the root of this man's problem, finally, at the end of the story. Rich man says, Abraham, "Send Lazarus to my five brothers." See, he cares about the family. "Send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't have to come here with me." And Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets." Now, that's Jesus' way of saying that your brothers have the Bible. They have the Old Testament scriptures. You with me? Okay. So now listen to the rich man's response. "Not good enough." Send them a miracle. Send them a man raised from the dead. That's what they need. But I don't trust that God's word is enough to save my brothers from hell. The word is not enough, according to this rich man's thinking. That's finally the problem. He cares about his brothers, but he doesn't care that they would receive the word of God. So I'm here today with some really good news for the household of God who cares about family and who cares about children, what they're going to deal with in the coming decades. Seems daunting. Seems like we've got all kinds of obstacles. I don't know, have you noticed that there's some bad news on the news lately? Seems like it's all lost, but I'm here today to tell you, you have everything you need. Would you go ahead and just tell your neighbor you've got what you need? I don't think some of you believe it. Say it a little louder. At least tell me, maybe. You've got what you need.
You've got what you need.
You've got the word. You have what you need to live, not just in the sweet by and by in the future. That is wonderfully true. We're going to heaven, but we have what we need to live and to not just survive. We have what we need to conquer in all of this mess that we see around us because we have God's word. Jesus says, John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to my word, you are truly my disciples and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. Psalm 119, verse 50. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. You know this one from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. End of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine and does them will be like a rich man, or not a rich man, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Troubles came, the wind, the waves, the storm, but that house stood still, stood firm. Do you want your family, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, do you want them to live? This would be the part where you do this. And I've got great news. Give them the word of God. By the way, not just an add-on word, not an afterthought word. Think about it this way. Let's say I want to make a cake. And I put in the flour and the salt and the baking powder. I put in the butter. I put in the vanilla and the milk and the eggs. Stir it all up. Grease the pan. Put it in the pan. Put it in the oven, 350 degrees. Sound good? Not so good. You know why? I forgot the sugar. So you bake that cake, and then you take it out, and what are you going to do? Are you going to take a cup of sugar and just pour it on top? Just kind of sweep it off. It's not going to help. That's a bad recipe. Can I tell you another bad recipe? It is a bad recipe when we bake into our families things they need. We bake into our families school, extracurriculars, entertainment, work, we bake all of these things into their lives, and then as an afterthought, when we think about it, it is a bad recipe if we add on some word after it's all been baked, hoping it will take. See, what we need are families established on God's word, animated by God's word, directed by God's word. This isn't just a Sunday morning thing. This is every day. And this is not an add-on thing, by the way. This is just the natural rhythm of life. We want parents who are in God's word. We want families that are doing life. And the entire time, using life as an opportunity to just say, well, what does God say about this? As a family, using God's word to give direction in the choices that are made. That's a good recipe. So, no add-on word of God after everything else is baked. Now, here's the bit that I think maybe will stretch us as a congregation. Supporting families on the foundation of God's word is actually the work of the entire congregation. Should I say that again? I want to say that again. Supporting families on the foundation of God's word is the work of the entire congregation. Now, I'm not saying everyone should be a Sunday school teacher. Not everyone should be a Sunday school. Some of you should not teach Sunday school because for some of you, that's not your gift. What this means is that we as a congregation think about what we're doing with our family. Well, maybe that's it. We think about what we're doing with families. And maybe there needs to be a shift sometimes. Here's an interesting statistic. Ken Ham did some research, wrote a book called Already Gone, because he noticed that children people were leaving the church in their early adulthood, and he discovered that they were already gone even as children in the church. And here's some interesting research. Did you know that children who go to Sunday school are less likely to stay with the Christian faith than those children who only went to church? That's just a statistic. Now, I'm not saying we should give up Sunday school. His point, finally, was this. The goal of the congregation is to make sure that children have the Word of God and not simply gimmicks. And that we don't treat children as if they're sort of just like, I don't know, trophies or things you sort of trot out when they're convenient. What is necessary is that the congregation treasures God's word. You with me? Treasures God's word and then treasures children. Congregation takes seriously the concerns and the questions of God's children, and they look to God for answers. The church is a environment where children are listened to, where they are allowed to be curious. And that first and foremost, we see that what is most vital is that parents are supported in their work of handing on the faith to their children, because that is how God set it up. That's finally the way this thing works. God's word at work in the family. Which means maybe we pray and then in some ways we get out of the way. Maybe it means that we don't demand that the young families, that those parents do a lot of work, extra work here in the church. We don't add one more thing to their plate. Maybe we make sure that they have the time that they need to invest in their family. right? We're talking about the fact that we don't want to go back to normal. I think this is an issue we need to rethink. How do we as a congregation help and support families and hand the faith on to the next generation? Because I tell you what, the way it's been going in the past few decades, it's not going so well. We're thoughtful, we're intentional about families founded on God's word. I wonder if you would agree with me that this matters. Would you agree with me that this work of supporting families, this work of handing the faith on to the next generation, that this is vital work, important? Would you agree? This is another place where you can do this. Okay. Well, here's some good news. Whatever work God gives, because this is a God-given work, there is confidence and there is rest. You know what I personally find very comforting? Is that the faith and the salvation of the next generation, the health of the family, does not depend on my cleverness. That's good news. You probably want to say amen right there. Doesn't depend on your cleverness either. It all depends on this precious, pure, powerful word of God. This seed that is miraculous, it's a mystery. This seed of God's word that can do wonderful things. This word that is more powerful than a miracle. The word is actually more powerful than raising someone from the dead. In fact, the word is the thing that raises people from the dead. That means we have nothing but hope and confidence. And that's good news. And this is the point actually where I want to address those folks whose children are older and maybe they have appeared to have left the church. And I know it tears at you. I've been in your homes and I've heard your stories and it concerns you. Well, here's some good news. Here's what the Bible says. God loves your children even more than you do. In fact, he gave up his own son. God made your child a promise, a covenant, in their baptism. God takes his promises seriously. God's word is powerful, and it does miracles. St. Augustine, one of the most influential church theologians, pastors of all time, was not a Christian for most of his life. He became a Christian later. You know why? Because his mom just kept praying for him and trusting him to the Lord. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to say our prayers. We're going to set our house upon the rock. And we're going to trust God to act. Those who hear the word of God and do it, Jesus says, those folks are like a wise guy who built his house on the rock. How about it, church? Do you want a healthier church? Let's invest in the family. You want a healthier society? Let's invest in the family. We've talked about let's be all in. This is a place where we as a congregation can be all in. And so we pray, we're thoughtful, we're intentional about how we support families, how we lead the next generation, in the Word. And we watch. We set our hope on the Word because it's good. It does not return to God empty. Something good's going to happen. Let's watch and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.